Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, Dana Altman was frustrated in the wake of that defeat to Wisconsin last night, and he, in his own way, he vented. I liked it. I thought it was a very human moment. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, covers this team up close and personal on a regular basis. He is there. He has seen the arc of this season and last season. He's joining us now. Matt, thanks for making time. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing well. Like, hey, look, Dana, you know how difficult it is to kind of get Dana Altman to talk candidly. And I, you know, this morning the phone rings and I see Dana Altman. So I pick it up and he just kind of let loose saying, hey, I regretted last night. I wish I hadn't done it. But what was that like to see him in that human moment after the game?
So I want to go back to the Arizona game at MatNet Arena. And Fali Dante had that massive dunk. And after the game, he was asked about, like, what it meant to kind of dunk on it, on Kirk Harisa, a guy that no one really likes in the league. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't say anything. And someone in the press conference said, do it. Say it. Say what you're meaning. And that was what I was thinking in my head when Dana Altman last night had this, like, look up into the ceiling moment of, like, I want to say something, but I'm not going to because this is who I am. I don't worry about things that are outside of the basketball court. And he did it. And I think last night was interesting because we don't, like you said, we don't get to see Dana Altman give his opinion on things that he doesn't have direct control, or I should say full control over. He's always, I'm just worried about, getting my guys ready. We can't worry about how many days we have or whatever. He just never goes in that lane. And so it was a rare instance where he was honest. He was frustrated. He was upset. He was mad. And I think I said it on Twitter after the night had kind of progressed a little bit and I was leaving the arena. Like, he left the press conference joking. He left the press conference with a smile on his face. And he said that, I was in a bad mood. And as you could understand it, but it was a rare time where we got some truth and we got some, wholesomeness and some genuine feelings from Dana Altman. And look, he says he's not a promoter. He says he doesn't go on Twitter, which he doesn't. But last time I checked, my message board on our website is on fire because of his comments. Mm-hmm. Social media for me, I'm assuming for you, for a lot of people that cover this team, are on fire. We've got national media members talking about what he said last night, good or bad. And for 24 hours, this is the biggest story in the state of Oregon right now.
Give me an idea, Matt. Let's talk about fan behavior, the market itself. Yeah. I always believe the market tells the truth, and fans didn't show up. What do you think the biggest reasons were that fans did not show up last night to that game?
Well, I should disclose, I am a season ticket holder. I've got two kids that go with my wife to almost every single game, so I am a season ticket holder, okay. I guess. I've never sat in the seats, but I have tickets. I think... the presentation of the arena and the game itself, which is nothing to do with the product on the court, the operations of game day is very poor. I think you go to other places in the conference. I think Oregon State, for when Oregon comes at least, I think their presentation of their basketball environment is better than Oregon's. And it shouldn't be that way. That arena is 12 years old, 13 years old, MatNet Arena. And they still haven't figured out the proper sound levels. It's very stale. It's very boring. It's the same things that they've been doing for 20 years. Wisconsin brought their band to the game last night. I thought that was pretty cool. they probably had it budgeted for a tournament run, and you know, they used that money regardless to come to Eugene. But they were playing songs that are played on the radio that, like, I was like, that's a cool song. I would sing to that if I was, you know, in the student section or something like that. And Oregon doesn't do that. You know, their band plays the same couple songs. And so I just think from an arena, from a fan perspective, everyone I hear, you know, I talk with, from, you know, when I bump into someone that I know is a season ticket holder or they go to a couple games, like, it's just stale, and it doesn't feel the same that a football environment at Optum Stadium has. It doesn't have the same environment that other places have. It doesn't have the same environment that, you know, Oregon has had before at Matt Knight Arena. But that's, you know, winning cures all. If Oregon has a product on the court that's really good and loaded, you know, fans show up. But this isn't a 1-year problem. This isn't a 2-year problem. You know, I go back to the last time fans, I guess in 2019 and 20, that season that was cut short with COVID. Oregon was 13th in the country going into the last game of the regular season. They had a 4-year senior that was an All-American candidate, was the Pac-12 Player of the Year favorite. His name is Peyton Pritchard. Okay, they were playing Stanford. That game did not sell out in a win and win the conference championship title in the final home game of his career at Oregon. That game didn't sell out. So even when they are at their peak, and that was during a period of time when a year prior they made the Sweet 16. 2 years before that they went to the Final Four. A year before, 4 years ago they went to the Elite Eight. You know, this was the peak of the peak of Oregon basketball under Dan Altman, and they couldn't sell out the last game with a championship on the line against a decent named opponent. That there's something there. I mean, attendance for 3 years in a row has 4 years in a row, excuse me, has dipped from the year before. That's a concern, and it's during bad years and it's during good years.
You know, it's one of the things I keep coming back to, and I heard from a bunch of people today, Matt, after I posted the column this morning. There are some fans who are frustrated because they feel like they can't track the players. They don't get to know the players. They don't get to watch them develop. And maybe this is true now of college basketball, right? You look at the tournament. Arizona State had 6 transfers. I mean, it's part of this is college basketball. But I liked seeing Dylan Brooks, Jordan Bell, Tyler Dorsey in the program. I liked seeing Peyton Pritchard grow up. I think Jackson Shellstead will be that kind of kid. I think he'll be in the program 3 or 4 years. You know, how much of that is basketball? How much of that is kind of what Oregon has tried to do over the last 5 or 6 years?
I think some of that's basketball, but John, this year's team had that. Going into the season, Will Richardson was back for his 5th year. He'd been part of 2 league championship regular season titles. He'd been part of a 3rd conference title. He'd been to 2 Sweet 16s. You had your signature guy. You had Nfawe Dante, who was in his 4th year at Oregon, going into his 3rd year as a starter. Now, one of those years, he got lost like 8 games into the season due to injury. But this was going to be his 3rd year as a starter. Quincy Guerrier was back from a year before. You look at that Final Four team, and Dylan Brooks, that was his 3rd year in the system. Jordan Bell, that was his 3rd year in the system. And Casey Benson, that was his 3rd year in the system. Tyler Dorsey, it was his 2nd year. Dylan Ennis, it was basically his first because the year before, he was out for the entire year with an injury. Peyton Pritchard, that was his 1st year. You know, their best player, Dylan Brooks, was in his 3rd season at Oregon, and Jordan Bell was in his, their best defensive player was in his 3rd season at Oregon. But they essentially had the same thing this season. It's just the fan base didn't gravitate to Will Richardson. The fan base didn't gravitate and Nfawe Dante. And look, we should also know that as much as I've been critical about, Oregon not having a good, game day operation, the program itself has been very insulated. And there's a member that's no longer here of the coaching staff that was a brick wall for those inside the athletic department and those that work in the media room, and was very difficult to get through to do features, to get the players in front of a camera, to get the players in front of a microphone, for whatever reason. I don't know if it's Dana's request. I don't know if it was his agenda, whatever it was. But it was very difficult to get people to talk with the Oregon basketball program. Now, I will say, like, this season, I saw more basketball practices and meaningful minutes of practice, I should say, this season than I have seen in 5 years of football, the last five seasons of football practice. Access is getting better at Oregon. I think interviews, can happen if we make requests. But I think also Altman ultimately has to be more open to, letting players talk when they lose. That's traditionally happens at Oregon, is when they lose, they don't talk. And that's cutting off access. It's cutting off an opportunity to see a fan base, see a player and connect with a player and develop some kind of connection. I remember three or four years ago, at an Oregon football game, they did a signing autograph session with the women's team and the men's team. And I thought, my kids went, the women's team, the entire team was there before the time started. And the men's team had two or three players at their allotted time that was there. The rest of the team showed up late. That type of stuff can't happen if you want to generate some kind of interaction with the community.
Yeah, and I think you're right about kind of the marketing of the program, the game operations, all that stuff hurts. Midweek game, NIT. I think people were frustrated too. Like, Matt, I had a hard time watching this team. I was frustrated because they would play really well for like 10 or 12 minutes and then completely fall apart for 10 or 12 minutes.
Yeah. The style of play, probably didn't help. I think Infale Dante is their best big back to the basket big man that Dana Altman has ever had, and probably more than a handful of years before his arrival as well. He's very good at back to the basket as a traditional big man, but the way that the game has evolved and the openness and the spread of the court, he can't shoot jumpers, and that's clogged the paint, and it's made life very difficult the last couple of seasons. So style of play too has not been, it's not been the same style of play that's built the program up to where it is today.
Let me ask you, he mentioned, we talked about the transfer portal. I said, how in the portal do you need to get? He said, look at the Sweet 16 teams. You got a bunch of 24 and 25-year-old players still playing in the tournament. He said you have to go into the portal because you're getting an experienced player. You're not getting an 18-year-old. But if he does go into the portal at one or two positions, where does he need to look?
Shooters. I don't think it really matters the position that they play, maybe then beyond point guard and center. Because point guard, you got Brett Ellamy last night saying, he's going to look at his overseas pros options, but he's not transferring. He's coming back to school. You got Jackson Shelsted coming into the program. Jermaine Cousard can handle the ball. And we've also seen Brandon Rigsby handle the ball. You've got your ball handlers set. And then Biddle has said he's coming back. We don't know what Infale Dante is doing. We don't know what Kalel Ware is doing. Both could go pro. One could come back. Both could leave. We don't know yet. But you need shooters. And I don't think it really matters, if it's a shooting guard or if it's a power forward. You need guys that can hit threes and consistently hit threes. Keyshawn Bartholomew shot over 40% in conference games this season as a three-point shooter. Jermaine Cousinard was 37% over the course of the season, but you need more. You need two or three more guys that can shoot in that 37 to 41% range. Anthony Mathis was an extremely underrated player in 2019-20. Because Peyton took all the fanfare. Will Richardson was a really good freshman, and Chris Duarte was a standout defender. But Anthony Mathis was a sniper, and his ability to stretch the defense and open everything up was unmatched. You can't replicate that when you're making over 40% of your shots. They need shooters, and it doesn't really matter what position. They just need to get them. And, they landed a junior college commit on Monday. He was here over the weekend. Jadarian Tracy from JUCO in Florida shot 44% almost on threes this past season at the JUCO level. Started his college career at St. Joe's, a solid college program back east in the A-10. That should help, but they need more. They need one or two more guys. And I'm with you on adding portal, not high school guys, because there's a saying in college basketball that the staff have is get old, stay old. And, you know, Dana's right. You look at the teams that are in the tournament, the ones that are winning are consistently ones that are made up of, you know, mostly upperclassmen, and then they have one or two, you know, freshmen that are really good. And you've got your three freshmen that are really good. Now it's, you know, that should be really good, I should say. And now it's finding those upperclassmen that to fill your roster with. You've got three of them next season for sure. You could have six, or, you know, you could have five or six more, you know, on the roster as well. It's finding those guys and who they are.
Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, great follow on Twitter as well. Check his work out. Matt, thank you. Go enjoy the rest of this beautiful day.
Yeah, I'll try that. Thanks, John.
All right, there he is. Good stuff from Preem. We'll kick it around some more next. Plus, we'll talk about the NFL. What is Roger Goodell, as he pursues a contract extension, doing so much better than the other commissioners of other sports? I got a couple thoughts on that. Leave it here.